Please meet to order.
Can I have a review approval of minutes from February 8th and 15th regular meetings? Mr. Wrong, second.
Again.
Thank you, Fabiano. Discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 11, requesting enactment of Senate bill and assembly bill for a special law in relation to the hotel and motel room occupancy tax rate as amended. Motion.
I'll move for discussion.
Move the second.
I'll second for discussion.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. I think my computer is frozen here, so I can't see hands. I just hear voices.
All right, Mr. Chairman, may I speak? Ken Rung. I'd like to make a motion that we postpone this until next week's meeting. I know that my caucus would like to have some more discussion on it. I'm not supportive of this at this time, but I think that discussions need to happen in our caucuses before we move this far.
I'll second that motion.
Any discussion? Can't see pictures, I'm sorry. I only hear voices right now.
Chair Gavaris, is Joe Maloney.
Go right ahead.
I'm fine waiting a week, but I'm really, I'll be pushing for a vote next week. This is, this went through economic development, which I think we spent some time on it. There was a lot of discussion. It was open for anyone and everyone. This really is just the initial part of the process. This does nothing. It gives us permission forevermore to have this conversation. Chair Cahill of Economic Development pointed out that in an election year, we might not be getting this back till next year anyways. So this is something that I think is long overdue. I remind everyone we waited 4 or 5 more years than we needed to enter into an Airbnb agreement, a collection agreement. Probably cost our constituents about $10 million. And the conversation feels very similar to that. And once again, this is just to get permission from the state to go ahead and have this conversation, which is a conversation I think there's more than 12 legislators that are ready to have that conversation. So we'll see. But I'm ready for a vote. If the vote's going to be next week, that's fine. I'll also remind everyone that Chair Bortels has made a point that she really, the way she created these different standing committees, she was hoping for conversations like this to happen in the primary committee. And that conversation did happen. I don't think Ways and Means is set up this year to be something that holds things up. If these conversations have already happened, like I said, I don't mind waiting, but I will be asking for a vote next week. If anyone wants to talk to me, I will even come to the Republican caucus, but this is a conversation that's long overdue. When you look honestly at the numbers, we're nowhere close to where other counties are. And one of the leading driving forces behind our housing crisis right now is short-term rentals. We really need to have this conversation, which starts with just getting permission to have the conversation. That's all this is permission to have the conversation.
Legislator Bartels, then Nolan.
Legislator Nolan actually had her hand up first. Since you couldn't see it, I'll defer to Legislator Nolan.
Thank you, but both you, Chair Bartels, and Legislator Walter also had your hands up, so I'm not on the committee, so I would yield if either of you would like to speak first.
Okay, then I'll lower my hand, so you can go ahead, Legislator.
Well, it's a yield-a-thon. It's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm actually raised my hand because I understand that there were several members of the community that would be affected by this law that were present in economic development, but didn't understand the process of when they would be when was the appropriate time for them to bring forward their remarks. And I see several of those people here again tonight. So I would just ask if either in this committee or where would be the appropriate committee for people who had intended to make comments at the Economic Development Committee but didn't recognize their, you know, the process in a way that let them have that time. I don't know with this being moved to be postponed if that would be appropriate tonight or if there's a better time. But if this committee would find a time for that, I think that that would be fair to the people who did come hoping to make comments and then just didn't find the right opportunity.
Yeah. If it does get postponed tonight, it would be next week at next week's meeting and they would speak then. Chair Bartels.
Thank you. So I am just speaking on the postponement. I'm supportive of the postponement in order to allow the opportunity for the caucuses to have a discussion about this.
Can I make a point of order? Has this been seconded for postponement?
It was, yes.
I postponed it.
Yeah. So, but that said, I also would be supportive of hearing if there are members of the public who came to speak on that, to hearing their comments, if the chair of Ways and Means would be so inclined. I'd be supportive of hearing those comments today in anticipation of having further comments in caucus, being able to consider those comments in caucus as well. So, you know, being supportive of the move to hold a week doesn't necessarily mean that I didn't want there to be conversation here today, either by affected members of the public or by the members of the legislature, but just that I didn't, I don't want to move on it until caucuses are able to have a deeper discussion about it.
And that's a good point, and it probably does make sense to do that tonight, since the way the caucuses do have some information. So if there's no objection from the Ways and Means Committee members, then if somebody from the Lodging Commission would like to speak.
This is Tamara Murray from the Emerson Resort and Spa. There were actually several of us that wanted to speak. If that's okay, I'd like to call upon Andrew Ciafatelli to speak first.
Andrew?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for having us tonight. I appreciate the sponsor of the bill or resolution who actually came to our property and met with us. And we did speak a little bit about our issues with this the resolution. And we did want to speak last week at the economic committee. But again, as Legislator Nolan pointed out, we were kind of confused about when we were supposed to start. So thank you for the time. Also, I'm sure you're going to hear from many other members of our hotel and motel industry that are opposed to this resolution. You know, as the sponsor just indicated, there is a part of the reason why this was brought up was to target or to pursue the short-term rental market in hopes to negatively impact their businesses, or to impose a tax on them that would hopefully maybe help out with the housing crisis. There's many other solutions to this problem. Unfortunately, this resolution couples hotels and motels to the housing deficit. In effect, this resolution has our industry really kind of starting to feel like the lawmakers in our county are seeking to delegitimize our businesses as well, because the same mode of method is increasing the tax on our industry. It may sound a little bold to make such a statement, but this committee, Ways and Means, should be reminded that when we had this resolution out in early 2020, we were assured that we were going to have a say in how the resolution was crafted in the future. And although there's new members on this committee, that committee should be upheld. It has been requested by the Lodging Coalition that the resolution be withdrawn, and I appreciate you guys postponing it tonight. But at the same time, our coalition or our lodging industry has not had time to give any input or work with the legislator. As it came back out, the resolution was drafted, and what we were told is not what happened. Last week, it was said in the Economic Committee that we don't need to talk about the details, and we don't have to get into the weeds on this right now because it goes up to the state, and at that point, when it comes back, then we will come and talk to the Lodging Coalition. Well, we kind of find it hard to believe that that's going to be the case, because this time the resolution came out. We weren't talked to, nobody spoke to anybody in our industry prior to the resolution being drafted and put together. Now, the sponsor did speak to us after that resolution was put up and made a couple of concessions, but it really didn't comprehensively look at some of the issues that we had. More importantly, I think this resolution is incomplete. More work is needed. We're willing to assist in doing this, I don't think 1 week does it. This resolution should be postponed until a time that there's a committee meeting with members of our industry to comprehensively address the resolution. Look, we understand in the business world, sometimes we have to be expedient. However, what is the current need for the legislator to act in 1 week? Several county legislators have already recently said that tax reductions should be in line. You know, they're talking about the surplus in the county. The county is in a strong financial position. There is no need for expedience here. Look, in our industry, we're just coming out of a pandemic. We have a big looming issue going on with what's going on in Europe and how that's going to affect our businesses. We are still in tactical mode. We're dealing with the here and now, everyday problems that we have, from staffing to supply chain demands. And as of right now, we're spending this time to try and fight back on an occupancy tax that we really shouldn't be dealing with at this point in time. So we would suggest, or recommend, or hope that this legislator would kick this further down the line. Let us come and speak with you guys and talk. We're not opposed necessarily to ultimately figuring out when there's going to be an occupancy tax increase. We want to work with you guys, but we just need to do it in the right way. And brainstorming and working together usually is the best way to do that. So we hope that you guys will not only kick this can down the road a little bit, but vote no on this resolution until we can sit down together and work together earnestly to make it right.
Thank you. Anyone else from the coalition would like to speak? All right, Legislator Malone.
Did you want to speak? Tom or Eric?
Either one, go first.
Chairman Guevaras, if you don't mind, I'd like to make a couple of statements. So in the bill, one of the things it references is underfunded programs. But I haven't heard yet what any of these underfunded programs, how much funding is needed to properly fund them. So as somebody who's being asked to foot that bill, I would like to know how much and where it goes. And I know there's a perception that this is money that comes from people outside of our community. And, you know, I'd like to suggest that's a pretty simplistic view of it. Yes, we do collect it from our guests. And yes, most of them come from outside the county. But really what we do is we quote a rate. If you call Mohawk Mountain House and say, I want to come and stay on these dates with this many people, et cetera, you know, we put together a rate and we quote that rate. And that rate is inclusive of the room, you know, the occupancy tax, the sales tax, et cetera. So at the very end of the call, they're, you know, not even the end of the call, towards the end, they're quoted, this is what it's going to cost you to come to Mohawk. They're going to make that same phone call potentially to, you know, other resorts, not just in Ulster County, but outside of Ulster County. So by increasing the occupancy tax, it basically reduces our ability to compete, and we're going to have to eat that difference. You know, if it didn't affect our industry, we wouldn't be here tonight. We would have no issue with this going through. But we know it's going to affect our ability to compete. It's going to affect our ability to maintain our razor thin margins, you know? So I really want that to be understood, because it's significant. I'd like for this to be, you know, when it does go forward, or if it goes forward, and not just necessarily this bill, but this subject matter, I'd love to know what the actual impact is. You know, tourism is a major industry in Ulster County. And I just, from everything I've seen and the conversations we've had, I don't get a sense that there's a clear understanding of what our industry does and how we drive economic value in this county. And then, because we're talking about increasing taxes, I decided to look at our tax bill for the last 10 years. And in the last 10 years, our taxes they're local taxes. So it's school taxes, town taxes, sales tax, the portion that stays local, and the occupancy tax. Our taxes have gone up 60% in 10 years. That's 60. For that same 10 years, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reports a 12% increase in inflation. So our payments to the county and taxes have gone up 5 times inflation for the last 10 years. And now we're talking about increasing them again. You know, that's not sustainable. So I just ask the committee members and the legislature as a whole, if it gets there, really understand this. These are major impacts to us as a business and to us as an industry. And it's not just the hotels that people stay in, but it's all the tangential businesses that are supported by tourism. It's the restaurants, it's the little shops, it's people buying gas, it's, you know, you name it, it's across the board. It's a good chunk of our economy. So, I guess what we're getting at is we would love to see it slowed down so it can be properly designed and studied so that it, we don't create unintended consequences. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I believe Eric, you were.
Thank you. Tom represented my points very well. Thank you very much.
Legislator Malone, and then Ron.
Yeah, just to hit on a couple things. When you're talking about looking at your taxes, you don't pay this tax. We could essentially generate millions and millions of dollars from people outside of the county that do not pay attention to that occupancy tax. We could put that back on the tax rolls and actually lower your taxes. So to combine the occupancy tax and the other taxes you were referring to, I think is incorrect. I believe I heard something about a whereas. We could certainly be more specific. A whereases don't mean anything. They're just kind of an example of why we're doing it. I could have put housing, roads, bridges, addiction, mental health services, all of which we need more funding for. Those are some of the things we'll be using the money for. I was general with the whereas. And when it comes to several of the individuals I've heard talk tonight, I've talked to over 12 legislators. That's enough to get it done. But there is another resolution being worked on right now. I spoke to our legislative attorney just the other day again about it a few days ago, about making the all-inclusives be able to separate out that bed tax. So most of the individuals we heard from tonight, even if we chose to raise the hotel motel occupancy tax to 3 or 4%, would actually be paying those bills that they're talking about when they're referring a quote to how much is it going to be total, will actually be lower by the time we're done with this term and we get done with this conversation. So a lot of the things I heard tonight, I'm not sure if any of them move me not to be completely comfortable. Moving on, like I said, there's 60, I think, individuals that are members of the Lodging Coalition, and I believe they're going to be affected differently. The all-inclusives, which seem to be leading this conversation in many ways, will actually be better off. And everyone could be better off if we ended up putting some of that money back on the tax rolls. But once again, I also do not believe I'm comfortable if we raise the occupancy tax on short-term rentals. I'll be on the record saying I am comfortable if that ended up affecting the short-term rental market. I don't believe it will, and I'm on the record saying that too. I have yet to talk to a single person. I have talked to probably over 1,000 people by this point, many people involved, some people on this meeting right now, and I have yet to hear one person ever be able to quote a bed tax that they paid when they traveled. Not one. I have yet to hear one story about somebody staying in Ulster County rather than Dutchess County because they have double the occupancy tax we have. I have yet to hear one negative impact of a three-year study that this county did when we upped our bed tax for 3 years, I believe, and then sunsetted it. So the data's there, facts are there, the needs are there. This legislation does not do anything but give us permission. It's a two-year term. If any legislator here wants to have this conversation in this term, then now is the time to send this off to the state and get permission. And I will continue to talk to everyone that wants to talk, everybody from the Lodging Coalition, but I will remind all legislators on this meeting that there's 200,000 people that we work for, and we have to try to answer to everyone, hear all voices. And I really believe that this is a conversation that we need to have. It's long overdue, and it starts with just getting permission to have that conversation. So I look forward to talking to everybody in caucus, and I look forward to having this vote next week if we decide to postpone.
Thank you. I'll start by saying, Legislator Maloney, you're obviously welcome to come to our caucus. Our caucus is open to everybody. And Legislator Maloney is right. This is a question of you know, having the authority. This is us requesting the authority to do it. I mean, I'll be open and honest. I don't want the authority to levy this tax currently, to raise the higher level of this tax. I respect the argument that we're lower than our surrounding counties, which we are. I like that. I think lower taxes is good. It's one of the things that, you know, I personally believe in my ideological opinion. And I also don't think that because our tax is lower, that means that we should raise our tax. I think that it's good that we're able to operate the county with a lower tax level. With all due respect to Mr. Smiley's comments, I'm on his side on this, I think, but, you know, when he looks at his tax bill and says his taxes have gone up X number of dollars, over the last 10 years, it's certainly not because of the legislature and the county, because, you know, that may be town taxes and school district taxes, but the county tax levy is lower today than it was in 10 years ago. So I take some offense to that being used in this case, because it's definitely not the county's doing. You know, unfortunately, it's tough to drill down to, you know, the county taxes versus the school versus, you know, the school district's easier because it's a different tax time. But additionally, one thing I want to point out, and I think that it's, you know, it bears pointing out, is Legislator Maloney talked about how we are probably not likely to gain this authority in a election year, because state legislators would be less than willing to carry a tax increase in an election year. You know, but this would allow us to do it sometime in the next term. That's not correct, the way the state legislature works. State legislature is having elections this year. We would need to do this all over again next year if we don't get the authority this year. It's not a two-year thing, because our two-year term does not match up with the two-year term of the state legislature. So every bill that's in the state legislature this year has to get reintroduced next year. I personally don't believe that we're even going to get a bill introduced in either house to raise taxes this year. Again, I tend to come from the opinion that if we needed to raise taxes because we were having a lack of funding, or, you know, and we weren't able to fund programs and things of that nature, then I would say, yeah, maybe we should look into this as an option. But just to raise it because we're the lowest in the area, I can't support that. I'm moving to postpone, obviously, so we can have this discussion amongst ourselves. But since we got into the meat and potatoes of the issue, I wanted to make sure to put my beliefs on the record. And I believe that this is the right place to have this conversation, in part because a lot of the concerns of this are financial. And this is the right place to have those conversations. So with due respect to Legislator Maloney, I don't think that, you know, this is a place to hold this up or to have, you know, conversations about the primary issues regarding the resolution. I think that this is the place to have those conversations because, you know, it's a tax, and most of the concerns of a tax are financial.
Thank you. Tamara?
Yes.
Mr. Gavaris, if I could, as a legislator?
No, I'm going in order. Tamara's up next.
I just wanted to take a quick second to thank you, and thank you to Legislator Bartels for encouraging to allow us to speak tonight. Just kind of adding on to what my colleagues have already shared, as most of you know, members of the Lodging Coalition Board have spoken with most of you to relay our concerns regarding this resolution. Every step of the way, I believe we've been very clear that we were looking to work with the legislature to replace Resolution 11 with a more solid plan for the future. Throughout the conversations that I've had, it's been dismaying to hear that legislators were not aware of some or all of the issues that we've been dealing with, such as the staggering losses that we've incurred, cutbacks in county tourism promotion, which has resulted and our properties shouldering more of the monetary burden for tourism marketing of the county and numerous other ongoing challenges. There's also continues to be a disconnect in truly understanding how our rate structures are managed, taxed, and perceived by our guests. Another common thread throughout our conversations has also been hearing responses, and it's been brought up this evening, hearing responses of not expecting this home rule request to be approved at the state level. We've also begun our own conversations with state government officials who have agreed that the chances of this request passing are slim, again, due to raising taxes in an election year, but also due to the nebulous language of the resolution as it's currently written. If the resolution were to pass the legislature and go to the state, only to not be approved by the state, I guess where I'm at a loss is that I don't understand why then we're all wasting so much time on it. Again, the Lodging Coalition understands this is a home rule request. There's a lengthy process. But at the same time, it seems would seem to me to make more sense to vote down this resolution in favor of working together on a resolution that is fair, equitable, and has the support of the tourism industry. I think that there would be better odds of that passing when it did go through to the state. So thank you again.
Thank you. Steve?
Me? Is that me?
There you go. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I have Shelly, my wife, to my left, and this is my daughter, Sam, third generation, Rocking Horse Ranch. So less than an hour ago, we received a very distressing phone call. So my little spiel here has gotten a little disjointed, and I apologize for that. We were notified by our insurance provider that our general liability insurance premium will go up by 50%. And our deductible is going to go up by another 75%. You know, the main reason, obviously, we see is whatever the inflationary causes are, but because they claim we don't fit their programming anymore. My feeling is some of you folks in hospitality, entertainment, and recreation will probably not get away unscathed. It's a serious, serious problem for us. We're already into, the multi-million dollar capacity here for our insurance premiums. And this just has me like in a state of shock right now. So you're going to have to give me a little bit of patience here. And of course, this is all happening, as fuel costs are rising before our eyes. Inflation is at what, 7.5%, highest level. I think it's going to be highest level in 45 years, definitely 40 years that we've ever seen. And my fear is in this particular case, when you're addressing sales tax or an occupancy tax, you're really just seeing the top line and not seeing what we're going through. You know, it's like this multi-layer cake and the icing sure looks sweet and creamy on top. You know, but I got to tell you what we're going through for frontline, mid-level, senior level, and of course our level, it's just unbelievably challenging. And of course, you know, we say this to ourselves, it's like, why now? Why during COVID? We survived 2 years. The last time this lodging coalition was this coalesced was when we were talking to the county executives and we were on the backside, our balls of our back. We were like, which way is the surface of the water? We didn't know if we were swimming to the bottom of the pool or we're swimming to the top of the pool. The governor was giving us no information. And I'll tell you what, the county executive stepped up and helped us and pushed us through. It was a long 3.5 month closure, I got to tell you. And we're still reeling from it. So, you know, and we just look around and a lot of people on the screen heard the informational feedback from the film, Hudson Valley Film. He was crowing like a Bantu rooster. I mean, what the heck? I mean, the amount of money they're bringing in, the amount of money they're spending, the amount of, you know, at the same time, I know he mentioned tax incentives and tax breaks, and I didn't even realize it. So I scrambled to the screen and holy cow, if you look at the county, how much time and money we put or we're giving to these social celebrities. And he went on to say, what was her name? Jennifer Lawrence. that the state of Massachusetts was going to contribute to our $15 million, and that now the state of New York, of course, that's the state, not the county, is considering doing the same thing to bring the star power in as far as the film industry. And we're sitting here like, what? And we're sitting here challenged with not only an 8% state and county sales tax, but then now we're talking about an existing bed tax and increasing that. And as well, listen, and I grew up since 1958, 59, with a lot of local farmers. We're all third, second, third, fourth, fifth generation. But my goodness, a lot of these farms, a lot of the agritourism that's developed and has been a byproduct of a lot of my generation bringing these, you know, pick your owns, the cideries, some of the wineries, they are getting phenomenal incentivization. Guys, what are you doing? And look at the hotel industry, look at the resort industry in the Catskills, which, by the way, is definitely Ulster County. No question about it. They're decimated. They're done. Somehow, some of us have miraculously survived. We figured it out. And how we are sitting here today is just beyond me. So while we're focusing on this occupancy tax discussion, it is unbelievably stressful for us because we really should be recruiting people that just aren't there. It's like trying to recruit vapor. We should be planning our projects, working on these projects that have been stalled now for 2 years. Believe me, I don't need my guests coming to tell me I've got to put $3 million into my hotel rooms by July 1st this year. Ain't going to happen. It should have happened over the past 2.5, 3 years. Some of the folks on the screen might have stayed at the property. They know. I know what we look like. And believe me, we need to reinvest into this facility. It is so critical that we put the money right back into this area, which means more jobs, more, by the way, unlike the film industry, which brings, yes, they bring jobs in, but then boom, they're gone. Our jobs are permanent. We've been dealing with the same construction company for up to 10, 12 years. We've been dealing with Dave Roars for about 30 years. I mean, you all know the folks we're dealing with. You do know them. You know, you were there for us 2 years ago. Please be there now. We feel the tax. Our staff feels the tax. Their profit-sharing plan is going to feel the tax. Our guests really do feel the tax. And just to raise this tax because others are doing it, we are so unique in the Hudson Valley. We are so unique in the Catskill region. We are so unique as a county destination. How should this even be happening? I mean, if we're going to raise this water level, then let's do it for everybody here. Whatever industry we're in, whether ski areas, other sources of hospitality and recreation, food distribution, anything else that would be affected by this tax level. I appreciate it. I'm still just getting over this whole thing with the insurance. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for letting me be part of this discussion.
Thank you. I just wanted to address one of the comments of Legislator Ronk. I didn't mean to imply that any of our tax increase was driven by a change at the county level, or it just was more just stating the fact that, that's how much our local contribution, the community has gone up, and it's major, and it's a major thing to have to absorb. And then to hear that, you know, there's a discussion of raising our taxes further. It just, it's a struggle. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Two quick points. I don't know how many ways to say it. The only, I think, tangible argument to a deterrent of somebody staying at a certain place in Ulster County would be the all-inclusives. It's a much higher number, and it's taxed off that much higher number, and they give it to you as one number. And we're all committed working on it now to get it done before we ever get the chance to go anywhere else. So those, most of what I just heard, you'll be better off regardless of what we do here getting permission. Secondly, I would like some clarity. I'm under the impression I was going to answer Ken right when he first mentioned it. Usually I get that right point of order as a legislator in a legislative meeting, but that I'm under the impression that it is a longer period of time, and that's one of the legal reasons that I was perceiving it that way, that we don't line up for something like this to happen with 2-year terms not lining up you'd never get anything done. So I was under the impression that that we do have an extended period of time. Is Chris Verducci on the meeting? Could we just ask him real quick, get a lawyer's opinion? I know Ken works up in Albany and has a better knowledge of this than probably I do. But is Chris on the meeting, and can we just ask him his legal opinion?
I don't know if counsel is on or not.
I'm here.
Counsel? Chris, what is your legal opinion as far as if this got up to Albany, the legislators up there kicked it back to approved it and kicked it back to us, would we be on an immediate clock, or would we have an extended period of time?
I'm not aware of any immediate clock. I mean, I'd like to look into it a little further. I don't want to give an off-the-cuff answer, but I'm not aware of any kind of deadline per se.
Thank you. That's how I understood it as well. But maybe we'll get some clarity on that. I don't think it works as an argument not to do it at all because we might be on a clock. I think it's more of an argument to go ahead and get it up there so we give ourselves a chance. But we'll talk in caucus. I know there is a motion and a second.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you can see my hand or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Just to Legislator Maloney's point, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. I was talking about having to do this all again if the state legislature did not approve our home rule request. So if they approve it, I believe that we have some time because that just gives us the authority to levy the tax. What I'm saying is I see very little possibility that this is going to pass the state legislature this year because they are having an election year this year. And, tax increases don't look good in an election year. And then we would have to go through the whole home rule process again at our level next year. The way I understood your comments earlier, Legislator Maloney, was that, we would have time. If the state legislature didn't pass this, we would then have time for them to do it next year. And that my point was we would have to have a whole new process next year if they don't pass it this year.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor of postponement to next week?
Aye.
Any opposed? So carried. Thank you. And thank you to everyone who spoke tonight. All right, Resolution 17, setting a public hearing for Local Law Number 3, Local Law requiring payment of living wage to employees and contractors. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
1 second. Legislator Walter, discussion? Chair Bartels?
Oh, thank you. So my understanding is that there was an initial list, perhaps, that was created of contracts that would be covered under this. Is that correct?
Is that a question? I mean, I believe I sent over a list of contracts.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know if that's been distributed or there's been a discussion about how many contracts. I'm very interested in the financial impact of this. You know, we passed the increase to $15 at the end of last year. So we're starting to see that effect. So I'm curious. I mean, I very much want to have a solid sense of what the impact would be on this.
Thank you, Chairman. If there was a list sent over, I did not receive it either, and I certainly would like to see that. And I think that was what our original hesitancy was the first time, was we weren't quite sure what the financial impact would be. And so if there is a list of contractors that would be impacted by this, I would certainly like to see it before I vote on it. One of the things that we found when we did the $15 was there was repercussions that we're still feeling to this day by some of our contractors who had to come back to us for more money for contracts that we had already agreed to, right? Amend those contracts, give them more money because we require them to pay more. And if we're going to do it again, I would like to know what that financial impact would be prior to voting for it this time rather than having it the other way around. So if there is a list, I would certainly like to see it and what the actual financial impact would be to the county. Thank you.
Legislator Maloney, then Petit, then Walter.
Sure. And I think Laura can speak to it. She's already, I believe, spoken to some people that are in some of the contracts that we were sent over, and they're already making $20 an hour. So it's going to be difficult to come up with an exact number because you don't know contracts coming down the line. You also don't know what all these people are making in these contracts. Some of these are people that are working for these groups that are not-for-profits and companies that are already making $20 an hour, or they're not at 15, they're at 17 or 18. There will be a financial impact. Obviously, it will be passed along to us. I didn't run and mention this while I was running. It wasn't on my mind. It was something I never thought about until I had people come and give me their testimonials off the record, people that are literally getting services from DSS and working full-time essentially for DSS. I wish this robust and demand for data and numbers, I wish I heard this in Ways and Means over the last 3 or 4 years while giving out it seeming millions of raises. People making $100, $115,000 a year. Elected officials now aren't making enough. No discussion. Done. We need good people. Give them the raise. Creating 62 new positions, filling positions. Very, very, very little blowback. You know, a couple of years ago, I had heard Deputy Executive Mark Ryder talk about that when we were talking about some big time appointments and raises for high end appointments and how we'll never find quality people. Meanwhile, we all just learned how low paid most of DPW was. See, we don't think about the rank and file. We don't think about the people that are literally receiving services. But man, we'll push this off for months and eventually probably vote it down. And they'll continue to get services from DSS while they work full time with the least of us, for the least of us, for our grandmother, for our troubled youth, with the people struggling with opioids. They'll do it for $15 an hour. And we're not going to worry about it. We're not going to take on that. But budget cycle, we're going to be given $100,000 a year salaries left and right with very little discussion. So when I heard that, I put it up. And if this doesn't pass, that's fine too. But it's food for thought because a lot of times we outsource so we don't have to think about it. We could save a couple of bucks on this contract. A lot of it's stuff we should be doing in-house. A lot of these things, some of these things we're doing in-house. I've talked to the rank and file over at DSS. They tell me that I'm doing this. We hired this not-for-profit to do this. We're both doing basically the same thing. One day I'm doing this, one day. We really have to have a discussion what's going on over at DSS at times as well. You know, like I said, there are people that are really struggling. They're doing God's work and we're not paying them enough. And if we want to keep kicking the can down the road because we don't have enough information, it's pretty basic. You can kind of look at a contract, understand how many people are probably making $15 an hour and figure out what it's going to be to raise them to $20 an hour. There will be a financial cost. Everyone on Ways and Means and a couple of these other committees and eventually the floor perhaps have to decide whether that's a financial cost that they're willing to pass on. If not, vote it down.
Legislator Petit.
Thank you. The list was sent out very late today. I saw it pop up on my screen about 3:30. It had 261 contractors on there. I'd venture to say about a third of them are private social workers who make well over $20 an hour. A couple of them I recognized as people I spoke to who also said they pay their staff over $20 an hour. The 7.5% cost of living that occurred in January is up over 8% right now. We can't keep expecting to contract out for services while we're paying near or close to minimum wage. We're not going to get quality people. There's not going to be any retention. We have to increase what we're paying these folks. And just to follow up on what Legislator Maloney said, we created positions last year that were well over 100,000. I've never made over 100,000 in my life, not even when I was working five jobs at a time to support my five kids as a single parent. We're doing this because we don't have to pay legacy costs, because we don't have to pay the health insurance benefits. And it's disingenuous and it's unfair to expect these quality services to be provided to people in need through social services or any of the other aspects and not give them at least close to a living wage. It was brought up last month at one of the meetings that it impacted our contracts by about $1 million. And that was at $1.80 an hour with the minimum wage going up. So I would venture to say it would be between $2 and $2.5 million is going to be the impact of this resolution. We did bring in $34 million in unexpected sales tax revenues. To put that back into our economy is going to be a benefit for us. So I guess I'll leave that up to you, but I would like to see this resolution moved forward so we can speak to it on the floor.
Senator Walter?
Yeah, I just want to make a motion to postpone it for next Ways and Means so we have an opportunity to see this information since we haven't gotten to look at it. And I'm also just, since I haven't seen it, I don't know, but you know, the secondary issue that we had with the $15 was an argument that compression would result in increases beyond those who make less than 15. I think we were hit more by compression than by people shifting from 15 higher. So I'm hoping that is addressed somehow on this documentation, or somehow we will be able to weigh the impact of that as well. But anyway, I'm making a motion that we postpone it so that we can actually see this information.
Thank you. Have a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Shiranka, you're opposed?
Yeah, I'm opposed. I'm ready to vote no tonight. So I'm going to be against the postponement.
Okay. Postponement carries. Thank you. Resolution 18, appointing independent administrative hearing officer. We don't have a name yet, so can we have a motion to postpone this to next week?
Make it.
A second, Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That's so carried, thank you. Resolution 29, funding capital project 601, ARP Small Business and Economic Recovery. There's a technical amendment. Legislator Cahill?
Yes, and I hope I get this straight. So the technical amendment would be that there would be a committee forum that would include representatives from the county executive's office and two representatives appointed by the legislature, two members of the legislature, to review all the applications that come in before forwarding them over to CETA for approval. So in other words, the legislature would get the first crack at applications once they're deemed worthy, right? Then they would be go over to the UCDA board for approval.
Bartels?
Can I just ask for a point of clarification? I think there was a technical amendment that was circulated. It wasn't that had to do with the financing, the technical amendment that we all saw.
Yeah. Putting this into a budget line and not a capital.
Putting it into, exactly, to take right, it out right. of a capital project and move it into a budget line.
Right.
Could we move on that one first, because that's something everyone's actually seen, and then maybe could we talk about whatever the other proposed changes
I'll
are?
I'll move that amendment as it was sent to us earlier.
Will Legislator Cahill remove
the
motion?
I'll remove my motion for the amendment. Yeah.
All right. So second for that one, Legislator Walter. Discussion now. Legislator Cahill?
No, I'm good. I move on the amendment.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, so carried. All right, now can I have a motion to postpone for next week?
Wait, can I?
No, hold it. Yeah. So yeah, I want to make a motion to amend the resolution number 29 now. Unless you want to postpone it and do it then, but I thought we were amending it tonight, right?
No, go ahead, do that tonight.
Right, so the amendment will then create a committee of members of the executive appointed by the executive and two legislators that will review the applications for these requests and then forward those to the UCDA board for approval to pay out, right? And, the money will be allocated as these are approved by the legislature, as I understand it. And if I have that wrong, I'm sorry. I got all of this in the last hour and a half.
Second, Bartels.
Well, I'll second it for the purpose of discussion, but then I actually would like to.
All right, Chair Bartels, go ahead.
So, you know, I've been pretty vocal about this proposal as it's drafted, and I've had some conversations with legislators and with executive staff members about it. You know, I'm open to the idea of changes, but I would like to see changes in writing rather than, no offense, Legislator Cahill, I know you just got this an hour ago, but I think, especially if we're talking about substantial changes, I don't know if that's the only change that you're bringing, that you or the executive offices are bringing forward this evening, but my understanding is there were, you know, other changes to be proposed, the idea of this not no longer being first come, first serve, which you're alluding to in that. But again, it's something that at the least, I'm not sure where I'll be when it shakes out, but at the least I would need to see in a written form in order to be able to speak to it coherently.
I just forwarded you the draft resolutions that I got late this afternoon. I honestly thought that the whole committee got it. I apologize. I didn't know that they didn't go to everybody. They only went to a handful of people here, I see.
It's possible I got it, but I definitely didn't see it if I did get it.
Is that Kelly?
Thank you, Chair. So the other part that was being discussed is that instead of being the first in, first out, that was the CARES Act criteria determined by the state and the funders on that. This would move similar to the non-for-profit, where this would be I don't want to stress the competitive part, but it would be based on need and based on a scoring rubric rather than first to apply. So that is the other change, and that is based on feedback and conversations, lots of conversations and feedback over the last 2 months from the legislature. I hope that answers the question.
So this, we didn't discuss this in economic development, correct?
This amendment? No, it just came out today.
So are we going to get to go over this and vote on this in economic development?
Probably not. I don't know. That would be up to
Would you consider this a substantive change?
Well, that would be up to the clerk of the legislature to determine whether it goes back. Am I right about that, Chairman Guevara's?
We could send it back ourselves, Legislator Cahill.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'd request that to happen.
You know, well, we'll discuss it in caucus, I guess. I'm not ready to do that now here in this committee.
I mean, we're talking about basically a business bailout, and it's a major amendment to it, and economic development didn't even have it. Now we're throwing it into Ways and Means. Seems proper that we would get a crack at this in our committee.
Thank you, Chair. I think that this is a healthy discussion to have in Ways and Means and could lead to these amendments being introduced on the floor and adopted that in that fashion.
Mr. Walter?
Yeah, I feel like my concern is that I think considerably more amendments are potentially warranted, although I'm not sure I would support it even with those. But I will say that the ARP team had reviewed it and scored it, and there were certain elements that came very low. And I would hope that you know, a sense of responsiveness particularly would be looking at some of those elements that that scored low and identify if there are perhaps ways to revise this approach that would meet the needs that the ARP committee felt were not met. I haven't heard any comments, you know, back as a response to where the ARP committee was, but I, you know, it was blatantly it blatantly did poorly across the board, but there are certain elements particularly, and I just feel like it would be wise to not just ignore the work that that committee did and but rather use that work to improve this if possible.
Tim?
I just would maybe respond a little bit to some of these comments, which, you know, I think I should indicate that part of this amendment comes from conversations I've had with many of you about some of your concerns. First, to Legislator Walter, I would point out that this passed, I believe, unanimously through the ARPA committee. I have not seen the scoring sheet, so I can't speak to what elements of that scoring were weaker or stronger, but I would just indicate that this did pass unanimously through that committee, I believe. And then that we have made every attempt to address concerns from this body. And, you know, I think we were here a month ago talking about this program and explaining that there is a desperate need. And we heard some of that from our hospitality and lodging partners tonight. We're hearing that every day from businesses in our community, many of whom are forced to close every week because of conditions that have come about due to the pandemic. So in those meetings, I was asked if it really mattered if we waited another month. And I said, yes, it did. And since then, we have seen businesses close. If we continue to wait on this, I fear that we will continue to see businesses close. So I just wanted to stress the urgency from our perspective.
Thank you, Mr. Rock.
Yeah, thank you. So first of all, you have every ability to get the scoring sheet from the ARP committee. So nothing should have stopped you from receiving it. And the ARP committee, not to necessarily speak for them, but their approval of it is, yes, they went through us. Not yes, we think this is fine, or yes, we want it, but yes, this went through us. And that's how the ARP committee, it got a D, honestly. And so they're unanimous. And Legislator Ferry is here, she might be able to speak to it, was that it passed through the steps that the ARP committee wanted, but it was not a vote of support from them necessarily. Sorry about the dog.
Yeah, thanks. You know, just since Director Wiedemann brought it up, I'd like to know, is there any empirical data that if this resolution were to pass, were, you know, this month or would have passed last month, that there are businesses that would not have closed? I mean, you know, I appreciate the conjecture and it makes a great soundbite, but, you know, this is a relatively small one-time infusion of cash for these businesses. You know, as far as I know, and you deal with a lot more with this on a daily basis than I do, but, you know, many of these businesses are closing because of workforce issues and other issues that an infusion of cash would not fix. So where's the empirical data that this is the linchpin to keeping these businesses open?
I'm happy to gather the data that right now I can report anecdotally, but I think we would all acknowledge, I would be surprised and would encourage anybody who doesn't acknowledge that our businesses in many sectors are struggling right now to go talk with more business owners, because that is what we do every day, all day long, and we hear it loud and clear. And I don't mean to be aggressive about this. I feel compelled to just speak, you know, directly about the struggle that we're seeing. And so I don't mean to be contradictory. I just want to do my job as Director of Economic Development to express that concern.
All right. Deputy Executive Ryder, then.
Can I follow up? Again, I'm feel free to gather the data if you'd like. At no point did I say that I think that businesses aren't struggling. So to say that I should go out and talk to more businesses, I respect where you're coming from. But what I'm asking for is empirical data that will show that this program will solve the problem. And that's where I struggle. And, you know, quite frankly, I find it interesting in my, you know, this is my 15th year in the legislature. I just find when department heads come and actually talk me out of voting yes on something more than they talk me into it when giving testimony in committee. And I feel like, you know, one of the things you're doing here is talking me out of where I was closer to a yes on this than I was last month. I understand that businesses are struggling. I just don't know that this is going to be, you know, the linchpin that stops them from closing their doors. You know, this may be a small stopgap, but, you know, if $35,000 or whatever this is going to be is going to be the linchpin to keeping your business open long term, then I I I I think there's other concerns there. Again, this might help a little, but and every business in Ulster County could benefit from this much money, which is one of the concerns I have about, the limited number of businesses this is going to be able to help.
Deputy Secretary Ryder, then Chair Bartels, Legislator Walter, then Maloney.
I'll be really brief. Earlier this month, the county executive spoke at the chamber breakfast, and there was a Q&A afterward. There was two questions that came up from the members of the chamber, and one of the questions directly related to this program, and the other one was the nonprofit program. Those were the only two questions asked by the chamber businesses to the county executive that day. So these programs are on the top of the business's mind.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I understand that these programs may be on top of the businesses at the chamber breakfast mind. You know, those businesses, I would argue, if it were on the top of their mind, those businesses were in the know about this program. And until an hour ago, this was a first in, first out program, which was consistently one of my complaints about it, which meant that we weren't assessing need first. We were assessing based on who got their applications in first. Arguably, the applications aren't even need-based in relation to a loss of revenue, since a demonstrated loss of revenue in the existing proposal from the CARES package, unlike the PPP program, did not require to show a loss of revenue calculation for business. So the need, the best I can gather it, the need was based on the percentage of mean income as demonstrated by a tax return of the business owner or a verification that 51% of employees met a certain threshold. So, you know, we could go down a rabbit hole about the type of seasonal businesses that might pay their employees minimally that might be eligible, and what they might or might not be using this money for. And that's long been my concern. And I do, I welcome changes to the program. I need to see them. I did not get an email that I can find at this moment. I was in meetings all day. So if it came in the last hour, it may be in my inbox, but I'm not prepared to vote on those changes until I see them. And, I do share many of the concerns that have been raised. And, Legislator Ronk just brought up I think an important point as well, in that, this next proposal is for $1 million, $100,000 of which is program delivery and advertising, which if we change the spectrum of it, we would arguably need to use, because we'd need to do some outreach to get to businesses in need. And $50,000 in overhead, which is 15% of the overall cost. So we're going to impact a very small number of businesses in countywide. So again, and to Legislator Walter's point, we not only have the ARPA scoring, we also did a legislative wide survey asking for ranking of every proposal that's been raised, however small or large, however local or broad, and this scored very low on that. And again, it was scored, I'm assuming, based on the proposal as it was presented, which is the CARES proposal. But it may be that in order to move something like this forward, we need to make changes, which I appreciate the executive staff is suggesting changes, but again, I have to reiterate, I haven't seen them. So, I would be supportive of at least allowing the week to be able to look at what's now before us.
Thank you. Legislator Walter, then Maloney, then Ronk, then Litz.
Thanks. So, the challenge I have with the concept of the businesses talking about how excited they are about this, I don't know if that word was used, but bringing it up at the meeting. And the challenge I personally have with this one is it's the only one on the table. And I can imagine, to help our businesses, there are several different approaches that could be taken that I can you know, maybe ones that are directed just to pay employees higher, which, you know, relates to the earlier resolution of paying employees more, or maybe focusing on just the shuttered buildings so that a business does not operate with a closed business on either side of them. And I would imagine that if the business community had a list of a variety of different approaches to help improve businesses in Ulster County, this might not be the one they pick. And so what gets me the most is that I feel like there are, while I'm not completely against this, I can already imagine at least two or three I'd be more for. And this is the ARP money, and every time we spend it, then we don't have it for something else. And I just feel like I'd much rather explore other possible opportunities of ways we can help our businesses that might really hit the marks on the ARP, really address some of these other concerns, that then we can get behind. Because I would not be surprised if the legislature would really, really get behind the right business proposal here for ARP. I just don't think this is number one. This, to me, probably is number four or five. And I would really like to see one through four and go through those first, because I know that this is not on the top of it for me and for many legislators.
Thank you. Next, Legislator Maloney. But first, just a reminder, though. So it sounds like there's not a lot of support to do anything with this except for maybe postpone it. So if your comments are related to that, let's try to streamline this because we've got a large agenda still to go. So Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, you know, I think everyone also has to think about, as we claim with no tangible evidence, which is what I think Ken was referring to, that we're saving businesses. And we've all talked offline. I don't want to disparage any businesses because the money was there to be gotten, but we've all discussed already some businesses that probably shouldn't have gotten this. The same argument that you can use to save a business is the same argument I can use that you're going to put another business out. You save one business, but there's a business directly across the street, the same that offers the same exact service, and they go out of business. So you've literally put someone out of business. And that leads me to a point that I think we really need to talk about. Every government bailout that I've ever seen, I've never seen one not done by industry, whether it's restaurants during COVID, banks, airlines. We talk about the cruise ships. It's by industry, because that's the only rational, proper way a government can take tax dollars and bail businesses out to ensure that, first, you're helping the right business, and second, that everyone has the same opportunity and you're not going to hurt anyone. So this is, you know, this is just, for me, dead on arrival. And it's to a point where we're getting to a point where two people raised their hand at the chamber breakfast and asked about it. I mean, if that's an argument at this point, then that worries me. But have we had one executive plan come forward that we've ever had issues with? I mean, even about ARPA, but other things as well, where they've ever said, you know, part of being a good leader is admitting when you're wrong and maybe it's not a great idea. Maybe we should just say, you know what? You guys make good points. We're going to listen to the legislature on this. Let's move on to something better to spend these ARPA funds on. But when are we not going to just double and triple and quadruple down and trying to keep hammering away something that has so many blatant issues? And I hope everybody thinks about that, because in my hometown, we gave money to somebody that has three competing businesses that do the same thing right around them. I know one of the owners of the other business that's a mile away, the exact same business. He's hurting. He didn't get any of this money. We may have just put him out of business. We have to think about that. And if we're going to be in the bailout business, it has to be by industry. And we have to ensure that everyone in that industry in our county has the same access and knowledge of the program. To me, this is not good.
Let's say to Ronk, then you should help.
I just, you know, I wanted to also talk about, you know, Deputy Executive Ryder's comment about the two questions at the Chamber of Breakfast. With all due respect and not casting any aspersions, but there's nothing that says that the county executive staff, who were, I'm sure, making up a great deal of the room, didn't, you know, tap one of their friends in the Chamber of Commerce on the shoulder and say, hey, make sure you talk about the economic development money and make sure you talk about the not-for-profit money. You know, these are the people, I'm glad you like that one. But you know, but I'm being serious. You know, quite frankly, you know, to Legislator Maloney's point about the insiders being the ones to get the money, you know, the inside businesses are the ones that are in that room in the Chamber of Commerce, you know, chamber breakfast. I'll tell you right now, there's not a lot of businesses in the town of Shawangum in that Chamber of Commerce breakfast, or the town of Plattekill, or the town of Marlboro, or the town of Gardner, or the town of Lorsing. There's a lot of businesses in the greater Kingston area that are there. And I know that I keep harping on this, but I plan to until my last day in the legislature. You know, we need to find a way to get some geographic diversity. And I hope that the amendment that's made, it, you know, moves us closer to that. But I'm nowhere near ready to vote yes on this tonight.
Fidelitz?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to maybe put some clarity here to the issue. People, I think, forgot how we got here. How we got here is this was a state program under CARES 1 Act. The criteria was set down by the state. The EDA oversaw the administration of it with the county staff. But the criteria of who gets it, who was eligible, was set by the state. And how we got here is 29 or 30 some, 35 businesses ate up the $1 million that the state put forth. But we had almost 300 applications. So they said, hey, let's do a CARES 2 Act with the ARPA money. That's how we got to this point. There was no criteria needs based or anything at the state level. And we were just trying to take some of the applications of the 300 that did not get the money and go for CARES 2. That's how we got here.
Thank you. Lisa, you should tell.
Yeah, I just want to say everyone's concerns, I think, are perfectly valid. But these are the same concerns, and perhaps, you know, those that feel like I might be putting this on them will, you know, seek to put this on the executive team. These are the same concerns that we've heard in the last month. And what I want to know is, what's the work that's happening for us as legislators, the great statesmen that we are, to pick up the phone and call whoever we need to call and form a small coalition of what we're able to support, reach out to the Office of Economic Development, reach out to the county executive's team, and put together a plan. You know, we're having the same conversation again, and yeah, you can fault the exec for that, but really, we've got to take responsibility for putting forward a plan that that addresses the issues that we're bringing up here, which are valid issues. So until we have something like that in front of us, I'm going to support this plan. I realize that I'm not on this committee, so it's a bit of an empty statement here, but you know, I have so many businesses closing in my district. I just heard of another business closing, not in my district, but also in Kingston. One of the businesses specifically cited access to capital as one of the things that they need. These are businesses that I know for a fact have applications that are in the pipeline. Some might say that they are in the know. Fine, we can say all those things all day long, but until we put forward a plan and get on the same page and do something, businesses are going to keep going out of business, and I'm not good with that. I would support this. I would support something better than this. As the person who just wants to get money to businesses, I'm probably the easiest to please, so maybe I'm not the right person to lead this negotiation if that's what needs to happen. But if it's a small group of us that step up to make that happen, let's make that happen. This is my plea to everyone to, you know, pick up the phone tomorrow, make whatever calls we can make to put something forward. It's clear this isn't moving forward tonight, but by the time we meet in you know, a month from now, there's going to be more businesses that are going out, and I'm just not good with that. So that's my pitch, and I just ask that we move forward with something, please, soon.
Kim, you had your hand before. You're good? Okay. Deputy Secretary Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to reflect that we have been having those conversations, and that is reflected in the amendment. I know you guys all got that just this afternoon. So in order to discuss what's been put in writing on both this and the next resolution, we certainly would welcome joining the caucuses, or if anyone wants to reach out to myself for economic development, we're certainly happy to continue. We do think there's a need. I know that we've been talking about this for 2 months. We still strongly believe that there's a need, and this will help numerous businesses in the county. So we look forward to continuing the dialogue.
All right, any other discussion? All right, so I believe we left off with, to postponing for next. Chair Bartels?
I think you have an amendment. Did Legislator Cahill bring forward a...
That's right, he did. No, you're right.
Yes, the amendment was...
And I seconded it for the purpose of discussion. So that's what's before us right now, is Legislator Cahill's amendment. So I don't know if you want to withdraw your amendment.
Sounds like I should probably withdraw the amendment and postpone it. And we can postpone it till next week. And then that way everybody has an opportunity to look at the amendment and have a better understanding of what it entails. Going back to what Legislator Uchitel said, you know, there are... it does propose having a committee of people from the executive's office and two representatives of the legislature on a committee to review these applications. So that kind of, you know, is in the direction you were going, right? I'll withdraw my amendment at this time.
You're withdrawing your second. Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
All right. So now,
Brian, I'll move. We postpone until next week.
All right. Second on that. That's it, Walter. All right. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Resolution 32.
I'll move to postpone until next
week.
Thank you.
Second. Mr. Cahill. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. All right. Resolution 69. Approving the issues of contract amendment for $150,000 family of Woodstock. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second. Okay. Second. Second. Chair Bartels, discussion. Legislator Walter.
Thank you. So this is the one that was postponed because we were lacking the information needed related to the language of increased salaries because of the $15 an hour increase. I did just receive it. I will say that none of the increases appear to be related to the $15 an hour law after all. No individual really had on this particular resolution had less. These are more cost of living increases. They're, to me, reasonable increases. These are not people who are highly salaried. You know, they're typically in the 30s anyway. They hover around the $15, $20 an hour, but they're not highly exceeding it. Again, to summarize, this is not about the $15 an hour resolution. This is about them requesting some more money because they're increasing salaries of some staff, but that these increases, in my perception, are not unreasonable. I do recognize you all haven't necessarily got to review that, but that's my 2 cents.
Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Just to note, Legislator Rock had to jump off. All right, 97, funding capital project 602, upper fund trails, open space institute. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Second, Chair Bartels, discussion. I believe Peter was here. Is going to speak. I don't see is he still here?
There
he is. Okay.
Peter Karras from Open Space Institute.
But before he does, Legislator sure. Guevara.
Yeah, go ahead.
We had a process that said that anything that hasn't been reviewed yet by ARP, we would postpone until they got to review it. They have not come up with a scoring for this at their last meeting. They are meeting tomorrow. So my request is that 97 98, 99. Maybe that's it. We do postpone till our next meeting. So what is it? 101, Natalie?
101.
Postpone till our next meeting, because that's our protocol, is that we let ARP have their say first.
That's a motion. Second, Chair Bertos.
Yeah, I would second it, but as in earlier, can we have Mr. Karras, because he's here, can we have Mr. Karras?
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to put that out there first.
Thank you, because, again, I just want to, next week, we have a lot going on. It's our first in-person meeting back. I feel like we're going to be pressed for time, and certainly if we need to speak about it more, I would want Mr. Karras to be back next week, but I think since he's here right now, if we could afford the opportunity for some discussion on these issues so that we can educate ourselves in advance of next week's meeting.
No, definitely let him speak tonight. So, all right, but that is the second, though, correct?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Karras, go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, legislators. I'm happy to be here tonight. Again, my name is Peter Karras. I'm Vice President for Parks and Stewardship at Open Space Institute, and we are currently looking to partner with Ulster County in allocating about $2.1 million in ARPA funds to make improvements to three sections of rail trails within Ulster County. One section from New Paltz to the town of Gardner on the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail. A second project on the O&W from Accord to Kerhonkson. And a third project from Ellenville North to the Eastern Correctional Facility. We've made a presentation to the ARPA committee, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, and also had the ability to be before the Capital Projects and Transportation Committee, where they voted to accept these resolutions. But in essence, OSI is proposing to use ARPA funds to design, bid, and hold contracts and construct these rail trail improvement projects totaling about 9.5 miles. On the Wallkill, I will say specifically, over the past 2 years, and actually since 2013, OSI has been piecing together and improving the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail. At the end of last year, we completed almost 13.5 miles from the City of Kingston line at Rockwell Lane, all the way south to Sojourner Truth Park in the Village of New Paltz. And we also have advanced planning for the two sections on the O&W. So essentially, these three projects are ready to go. Back to the Wallkill, this funding would actually leverage almost $2 million of investment to date by the state, by OSI and their generous donors, and also from the Hudson River Valley Greenway as part of the Empire State Trail improvements. So this would extend that Wallkill Trail another 6.5 miles south to the hamlet of Gardner. In Accor on the O&W and Accor to Kerhonkson, it's an existing trail open to the public. It's in really a need of refurbishment. There's a lot of conditions there that need to be fixed. And then in Ellenville, it's actually a little more degraded, but the project would connect an improved section of rail trail actually to Route 52 in Ellenville and hopefully connect to an existing federally funded project to connect over to Berm Road Park at the base of the Smiley Carriage Road at Minnewaska State Park. OSI's larger vision is for an interconnected trail network east of Hudson through Ulster, Sullivan, and Orange counties, totaling about 250 miles. When we're finished, I think in about 10 years, hopefully it'll be the largest feeder trail system into the Empire State Trail in the state, touching three counties and over 20 communities along these lines. So this is a continuation of our program, and we are ready to go. As part of the proposal, there is a small overhead request for about $95,000. That covers all of OSI's time and the team of people that work on these projects at our organization. That is being matched by OSI as in-kind service for $95,000. And as a partnership, we're doing that so that everybody has a financial interest in the delivery of these projects. But these three specific projects would benefit six municipalities in Ulster County, New Paltz, both the town and the village, the town of Gardner, the town of Rochester, the town of Wawarsing, and the village of Ellenville. And if you add in the hamlets of Accord and Kerhonkson, that totals eight. So I'm happy to answer any questions. We're moving and ready to go with these projects. And our hope and our understanding from the ARP committee is that they're producing their rubric and their scoring for these projects. We believe, based on our understanding, that these will score very highly. And as I said, we're really excited about this partnership with Ulster County and the continuation of our public access improvement work. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have anything? No? All right, thank you. All right, Governor Hilton, you could rescind your second, and Legislator Walter, rescind your motion. We have to go back and vote on blocking. We do vote on the block for those. So, all right.
I'll make the motion to block them.
We already have first and second. We just cut in with the motion to postpone. So there was a first and second for that. So all those in favor of blocking 97, 98, 99, and 101. Favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So, all right. Blocked. Now motion. Let's say Walter, motion.
Can I make a motion to postpone the block?
Okay. Second. Chair Rattels. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried. Thank you. All right. 105, confirming appointment of Lauren Johnson as Director of Department of Transportation. Can I motion? Motion, Chair Martell, second. Legislator Walter, discussion. All those in Chair Martell, go ahead.
Well, I think I see that Mr. Johnson's here with us. I don't know if he can come on camera. Just be nice to introduce himself.
Did you eat? Huh?
There you are.
There he is. Mr. Johnson. Hello.
Welcome.
Like to just introduce yourself real quick?
Certainly. First and foremost, thank you, Chairman and fellow committee members. As you know, my name is Lauren Johnson. I come by way of a rich history in constituent services and providing a customer experience. And I hope to bring that to Ulster County as a whole. I have a strong belief in creating equitable services for all and really looking forward to working with you guys to serving the public as a whole.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Johnson? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. Resolution 110, amending Capital Project 577 McKee Tree Bridge. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Move second.
Second. Aviano,
discussion?
Yep.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 112, approving the execution of a contract for $2,641,285 for A. Colarusso and Son. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Second. Aviano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 11-13, amending the 2022-2027 capital improvement project, amending capital improvement project number 390 Sundown Bridge. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Motion, Legislator Walter, second, Fabiano. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 115, approving execution of a contract amendment for $250,800 for Barton LaJudas. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter.
Chair Guevara, yeah. Can we block a few of these?
You can do whatever you like.
I think, are we on 115 or 116?
We are on 115.
So can we block 115 through
126?
26, does that make sense? Or, that's a flag. How about 125?
Second?
I'll second that.
Second, Fabiano. All right. All those in favor of the block?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Aye. All right. Block. All right. On the block. Motion? All the favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. right, 126. Establishing capital project 623, 2022 bridge flag response. A motion? Said Walter. Second?
I'll second it.
Fabiano? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. So carried. 128, authorized amendment to the grant with Catskill Watershed Corporation. Can I have a motion? So Chair Walter, second. A second?
Chair I'll Marcellus. Second it.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. 129, approving execution of a contract amendment for $22,280 for Eastern Heating and Cooling. Can I have a motion? Senator Walters, second. That's Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 130, approving execution of a contract for $437,000 for T. McElligan, Inc. Can I have a motion? Senator Walter, second. Chair Bartels, discussion? Chair Bartels.
Can I just ask for clarity? So it's a dollar. This is to rent space for equipment that we're storing. Can someone just clarify what exactly this is for?
This is the T. McGillicuddy. This is the contract. The one I think you're talking about is the next one.
Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. Thanks.
All those in favor?
Good disregard.
Both in favor?
Aye.
So carried. 131, establishing capital project 624 SUNY Ulster Children Center renovations. Kind of a motion. That's it. Walter, second. Mariano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Post? So carry. 133, authorizing execution of a lease agreement with Ulster UCEDA for Space Enterprise West. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Bartels, discussion? Legislator Chair Bartels?
Yeah, this is what I meant my question. Sorry, I was distracted.
So we relocated some of the warehouse space up on Golden Hill to Enterprise West, and they are doing a lease back for a dollar, and we'll cover half of the utilities in the space that we use. We plan on this being a short-term location for some of the DPW equipment, and we're looking for a longer-term relocation that doesn't involve Enterprise West. So we hope to not be here any more than 6 months.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 137, setting a public hearing for the sale and or transfer of three easements for county properties. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Chair Bartels, discussion? Chair Bartels.
Can someone just walk me through this for a minute? I recall this back in 18, and it got contentious, and then it stopped being contentious, and then it went away, and so now it's back. So can someone just give me the short story?
So happy to do that. Dennis was here, but unfortunately it went long and he had to be down in New Paltz. So we're required to have a public hearing. This is for three easements to allow for affordable housing to be built down at the kind of down by Point of Praise Church. There was a lawsuit with the company at one point, and we needed to have some kind of property interest over part of their property. They wanted to like tie this into that, which we weren't willing to do. That's now been taken care of. And so now we're willing to bring this forward. This also allows, I think that there's the Best Western has asked for this, I think, to prevent access through their property.
Can I just ask a follow-on, Chair Gavars? So, again, for clarity's sake, so we'd be surplusing the property in order to allow for the easements, but would we maintain ownership of the property, or are we transferring the property to?
We're transferring it as an easement.
Okay.
We're, This is over the rail corridor. So
right, and we're
keeping
holding
the property.
Okay.
Yes.
That's all. Just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Legislator Green.
Chair Gavaris, you have Legislator Green's hand up.
Sorry, I don't see her on the screen. So Legislator Green.
Thank you. I just want to check, and I came in late and just heard the tail end of it, but I do recall wetlands, and that was one of the reasons not to develop the senior housing there. And am I correct that was an issue?
They are building it not, I don't believe there's, it's in the 100-year floodplain, which was a concern. But I believe that's kind of in the jurisdiction of the Kingston Planning Department on moving that forward. This just allows for that. Legislator Cahill may have different information.
Yeah, so in our last committee meeting, it was brought forward that the city of Kingston had declared a negative declaration on a secret review of that property, which was what was holding us up from going on forward with the easement. Once the city of Kingston gave them the green light, we gave them the green light as well through our committee.
Yes. Brian, maybe you can refresh my memory. Isn't this something we tried to do when you were a legislator back in your other term?
I don't remember that far back.
just refresh my memory. Where exactly is this piece of property?
So it's actually, back then it was behind the Holiday Inn, but now it's behind the Best Western. And it's a property they'll enter through Hurley Avenue, cut through behind, and they needed a right of way over our railroad tracks to build the place. That's really what it boils down to. And they were really, there was, I don't know if it was that far back. I don't think it was. I think this is more like
I'm thinking of something else that ran along the thruway. I remember Legislator Lauren at the time had a big issue with it. They were going to put senior housing there in between the floodplains and really nothing happening there for seniors. I just want to make sure that's not the same piece of property.
This is different.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, if I may, Deputy Ryder cited Point of Praise, which is at a different location, and that's where I remember the wetland issue. So are we talking about behind Best Western, or are we talking about Point of Praise?
I believe it's all the same property.
Yeah, I was just going to say it is the same project that Dean is referencing. It's all the same thing. Because I remember the long discussions with Legislator Lauren.
All right.
Point of Praise Church is 243 Hurley Avenue.
Thank you, Trace.
Let's say you should tell then.
Thank you, Chair Gavaris. So this is, I've been in contact with one of the neighboring businesses. This easement is a big sticking point between the neighbors, and that's what's before us tonight is the easement. There's going to be it's not the project, and all of the scope of the project is not intended for us to have an additional environmental review or planning review. This is really about the easement here. And I totally recognize that there is a unique plot of land that's right next to the thruway. And I walked it just a few months ago when the neighboring property, the Best Western, reached out to me. There's a graded road, which used to be a road that heads out south from the rail corridor that leads to Hurley Avenue. And that's where they want to access the parcel that's on the north side of the easement. So everything to do with our easement, in my opinion, and looking at it, I think, and physically walking the entire corridor just a couple months ago, I think is perfectly reasonable. They're going to have to meet everything that they need to meet with the city of Kingston. And that's not, that's not the question that's before us tonight. But this easement is, in my view, totally doable and would resolve a major, major sticking point for a very important, I don't want to say important because it's not that there's less important businesses, but a real keystone hotel in my district, the Best Western, that really needs this issue resolved because without us granting the easement, it puts the property owner without an easement in a very antagonistic position with the Best Western that then has to access their property through the Best Western property. And we can resolve that this month. And that's my hope. This is in my district, and it's my hope that we'll resolve this easement for them.
Aaron?
Thank you. Can we just clarify that the Best Western is on one side of the thruway, Point Appraised on the other side of the thruway? Where exactly is the property and the easement going to be?
They're both going to be on the east side of the thruway. Yeah.
Any other, Fabiano?
Yes, I'm going to have to be a no on this because now it's coming back to me. This project wasn't a good idea years back, and I don't feel it's a good idea today, especially for the people who are going to end up living in these facilities. So I will be a no.
Question.
Can I just say one more thing?
Sure, go ahead.
It's been clear from the last time the legislature decided not to approve the easement that not approving the easement is not going to kill the project. The project is the owners of the property like fully intend to proceed and will are going to exhaust every opportunity to create an easement. So if we don't do it, they're going to keep
fine,
going.
But I don't, that's totally fine, but I don't have to support it.
No, I understand that. I just wanted to be clear that's not – I think we're on the same page, Legislator Fabiano.
Jim Martels.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as Deputy Executive Ryder said, last time there were also these complicated mitigating circumstances that had to do with legal action, and it even came to threats on the legislative floor. I mean, it was a singular kind of experience in my legislative term, and maybe Legislator Fabiano is remembering some of that as well. That said, you know, I'm comfortable moving it forward to a public hearing. I mean, this is where we're going to air out any of the concerns that might come forward. So, you know, I'm comfortable moving forward to a public hearing today. And then if there's more information that I need to get, I'll endeavor to do so between now and next month when I'm assuming we'd have to actually move on it.
Anyone else? And all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. I'm opposed.
Yeah, I'm opposed. Okay. Thank you. 138, authorizing chair legislature to an interfaithful agreement with various municipalities for summer youth program. Can everyone just make sure you're in mute? Somebody is not on mute. No, nobody's still not on mute. Am I the only one hearing this noise right now?
Oh, I think
I hear it.
Okay.
I would suggest you're being Zoom bombed, perhaps.
I was just going to say, we have a Zoom bomber.
Right.
All right. That's the first one I had. All right. I thought there was somebody raising hand for a motion, so I'm sorry I didn't see it. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second Chair Bartels. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 140, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to accept allocation of Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Treatment Act money. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in, Chair Bartels?
Oh, no, that's okay. Go ahead.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. So carried. Let's see, 141, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget. Department of Social Services. Can I have a motion? Walter, second. 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 Chair Bartels. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 142, approving the extra contract for $705,188 for Family Woodstock. Can I have a motion? Chair Walter, second. Chair Bartels, discussion. Chair Bartels.
Can I just, for clarification purposes, this resolution, I realize it's a revenue. In the detail, it speaks about $12,736 going to Family Woodstock for the cost of placing families in motels after hours, and then $692,452 going to Catholic Charities to operate the warming center. Is this in addition to what we're already contracting with Catholic Charities for the warming center for, or is this replacing the funding source through this revenue?
Deputy Executive Contreras.
Yes, hi. No, this is for the Code Blue plan. So this is our reimbursement to the county for the funds that we paid Family of Woodstock and Catholic Charities for the warming center and for hotels and motels after hours.
Okay, so it's a reimbursement to the county. It's not going again to because it speaks to the contract with those two organizations, but that's just in a narrative to define the money's already spent.
Thank you. Correct.
That's it, Walter.
Yeah, actually, to clarify, it's both. It reimburses money we've already spent, but it also goes through 2022 to pay for it, the services going forward. So it's both.
All those in favor? Opposed? Fabiana, you're opposed or you're in favor? I'm sorry.
I'm in favor.
Okay, thank you. All right, so 143, authorizing the interim commissioner the Ulster County Department of Health entered an interstitial agreement with New York State Office of Mental Health. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 144, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $185,000 with the Hudson Valley National Center for Veteran Integration. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 145, amending the 2022 budget. Turn an echo again. 145, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to reflect additional funding from New York State Department of Health for epidemiology and laboratory promotion. Legislator Walter, second.
Second,
Paviano, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. 146, approving issues of contract for $105,000 for Family Home Health Care, Inc. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Cahill, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
So carried. 148, authorizing the chair legislature to move into the necessary agreements with the New Paltz Rural Cemetery for the purpose of providing veteran cemetery. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Cahill, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 149, approving the issues of contract amendment for $8,640 with Touch Legal, Inc. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. 149. Yeah, 149, execution of contract, 150, approving the execution of contract amendment for $97,246.60 for New York State Technology Enterprise. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 151, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to accept allocation from New York City Office of the Prevention of Domestic Violence as amended. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter. Second, Bartels. Discussion? Mr. Walter.
Yeah, I mean, you said as amended, so just calling people's attention that the state doubled the amount they are giving us, so it's twice as much, but the amendment is in the resolution.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. 152, amending the 2022 budget to create two full-time assistant defender, public defender positions. Can I have a motion? Senator Walter, second. Cahill, discussion? Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 153, authorizing the chair legislating to an agreement with New York State Office of Injured Legal Services. Can I have a motion? Senator Walter, second. Second. Chair Bartels, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 155, approving the execution of a contract for $252,477.12 for West Public Publishing Corporation. Can I have a motion? Walter, second. Chair Bartels, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 156, approving the execution of a contract for $917,568 for Atlantic Tomorrow's Office. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Legislator Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor? Chair Bartels? We need discussion, Chair Bartels, or are you?
Yeah, no, sorry. I was just getting to my, you know, I'm not going to belabor the point because I feel like we talk about this a bunch, but it just is always so, and it just may be something that I'll never get over, but it's so shocking to me, close to $1 million in copier leases, which is really what we're talking about here, right? I mean, you know, I've had the same conversation for as long as I've been here, and the numbers just get bigger and bigger. So maybe I'll just, until my last day here, just raise it. I don't know. Maybe there's no other way. This is the way we feel is the best, most financially sound way to move forward. And Legislator Gavaris, I know you've raised the same issue as it related to radios and other rentals. I just sometimes think it's the path of least resistance, and it's a lot of money. So I'm going to support it. I don't have an alternative proposal to bring to the table at the time, but at this moment, but I just don't know. I feel like it bears, you know, making us all take a moment to realize we're spending $1 million on renting copiers.
Debbie Hickey Ryder, then Legislator Cahill, then Fabiano.
Yeah, I'll just quickly say that it's a 5-year contract that comes with basically everything, all services, if they need to be fixed, which they do often need to be fixed. We used to do this in a much more kind of ad hoc way. We had several leases with several different companies, and it was not efficient or effective. When I was purchasing director, we did this transition. We transitioned to national at the time, and now with an RFP, we selected Atlantic as, you know, they were more competitive and they were actually cheaper than our current providers. So.
Thank you. I'm going to bring some of my private sector experience here with me. One of the things that we did at IBM that really cut down on people using copiers and printers overall is that we had to use our badge and departments were charged back for everything that they printed unless it was absolutely necessary. So like the legal department wasn't required to do it, but like where I worked, if I was just printing an email or printing, you know, a document, you know, we would have a bill. We would get a bill back to our department for the amount of paper that we were using and the printer itself, right? And that really, the manager would come to a meeting and say, hey, this is how much you're spending on that printer and copier every year. So that may be something that we should consider, you know, because I honestly believe that we probably print 80% more than we have to, the way electronic things go today, as far as spreadsheets, databases, emails, text messages, whatever they are, you don't have to print them anymore. So I would suspect that, you know, if we put a much greater effort on reducing the amount of stuff that we actually produce, we would save a lot of money down the road.
Thank you, Legislator Fabiano.
Mark Ryder answered my question.
Okay, thank you. And I'll just follow up on what Chair Bartels said. Yeah, this is the other one I was going to speak on as well. This is just like the radio contract. You know, at some point we should be evaluating whether or not it makes sense for us to buy equipment and hire a person to be the repair person. For this kind of money, it seems like, you know, a lot of expense for
I just have a hard time believing you have that much breakdown of equipment. And if you do, that doesn't say very much for the equipment itself. If it's breaking down that often, that you need to have service done that frequently to lower and build this high. But all right, any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 158, supporting New York Assembly Bill A9037 and New York State Senate Bill S8165. Have a motion? Senator Walter, second? Second?
I'll second for discussion.
Senator Martell, discussion? Anybody discussion? No? Chair Bartels?
With the sponsors here, maybe we could afford a moment for the sponsor to speak.
Yeah, to if it. We'd like.
Oh, if he's sure. Willing.
Sure. Yeah, this is asking the state to do another round of what they did last year. They allocated $2.1 billion last year. And we, in our county, a lot of workers had applied for it and got it, and it was really life-changing for them. We heard from many of them at an event I attended toward the end of January in my district. And we also heard from many workers who were denied at the time because the funds ran out. So this is a call to re-up that. It's already supported by the senator and assembly member representing my district and much of the county, Hinchey and Cahill. And so that's what we're just asking for the state to do. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Question? All right. All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. Some forthcoming resolutions. Resolution 14, the termination of the lease agreement for the Board of Elections. Any update on that's coming up? They're talking about May, if I'm not mistaken, for the Board of Elections.
The last update that we had, it will be, and I think after working with the commissioners at the BOE and making the move where it works for them and not in the middle of an election cycle, July 1st is going to be the lease start date at the Daley Freeman Building. So if not this month, it's probably next month, maybe time to move this resolution forward, actually. I would ask that you delay it one more month, but then we should look at putting it forward next month.
All right, and also Resolution 96 is going to be forthcoming as well. New business, the CMA agreement, we had 2 one-year extensions that we could approve. I don't know if we want to do that tonight or if you want to do it next week or have a discussion. I guess if anybody wants to make a motion to approve it, then Chair Bartels, you want to make that motion? Yeah, you're on mute, Chair Bartels.
Thanks. Legislator Maloney's, I don't want to make that motion right now. I'd rather.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Legislator Maloney, go ahead.
I just wanted to, before you go, after this is done, I just wanted to circle back around for a quick discussion on 96.
All right, let's finish this up. All right, well, if there's no appetite to do this, then we'll just hold off on that for now. Comptroller Gallagher?
Hi, thanks. I'll be really brief. I know it's been a long night and there are other meetings happening tonight. I just wanted you guys to know we're in the middle of our sort of annual risk assessment process. My office is still struggling with ARPA accounting. I've said this at the ARPA meeting, but I want you to know what I can see is lagging by 9 weeks in the system. So I can't see anything that's post 12/31 in terms of ARPA expenditures. And I'm hoping to be working with the administration on that. I've made several requests in that regard. And then I wanted to just mention to you guys that sales tax, so far we've received 2 payments in February. For January, we're up 25% overall. That differs a little bit from the memo that you have from the Commissioner of Finance, because I'm including yesterday's payment. And then I wanted to circle back to occupancy tax, since that has been a big conversation, to say that you know, we have collected $3.2 million in occupancy tax for last year. That is an 89% increase over the prior year, obviously because of the pandemic in part, but probably also because of the voluntary collection agreement. So $3.2 million. Look back to 2019, we collected $2.03 million. So you have $1.2 million more than our best year ever. And I just want to say one other thing, which is that other counties are sharing how much they collected through their voluntary collection agreements. We are not able to share the way that the Commissioner of Finance and our county attorney interpret the law, but I will tell you that there is no other county that is coming to where we are, and they, most of them have higher occupancy taxes. Thanks.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney.
I'll give an update. This is about the ARPA water sewer infrastructure. I guess we'll be, I hope we have time in caucus tonight to talk about it, and I'll be coming to the Republican caucus in a couple of days to talk about it. But it's been brought back down. I guess the executive has had a lot of contact with some supervisors and town board members from around the county who are really hoping that we take some funds. I've been talking to Chris Kelly at length, and we have some interesting ideas for even the application process to maybe improve knowledge of the county as far as water infrastructure around the county, since it is a job of the municipalities. I do think the county, when it can, should do what they can to make sure the towns, which many times lag behind the times, to kind of be a part of the conversation. And maybe this could be part of that as well. And Chris Kelly gave me some insight that I had never thought about that could actually be part of this as well. So I'll be talking to everybody in caucus and seeing where everyone's at. I know a lot of the towns are very interested. And from what I'm being told, from Chris, the executive is on board. They're around 3 million right now, and they think the towns that are going to be coming and that have reached out, and what they've tentatively reached out about, 3 to 5 million will probably be what we need to put in there to make sure all the towns that are interested are going to get what they need. But there is going to be, you know, they're going to have to provide a little bit, where it's not just going to be a handout. They're going to have a project that has not started yet that will only happen with regards to sewer and water infrastructure. So if anyone has any questions or wants to reach out, I've talked to Herb, I've talked to a couple of people, and I think it's something that would be a positive part of the portfolio that we put forth with regards to how we spend the ARPA funds.
Deputy Secretary Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Legislator Maloney. I do want to reiterate that we've supported a water and sewer municipal program since we received the funds. It's one of the four main called for uses of ARPA funds. It's something that in every conversation I think I've had with any municipal leader, that they're not typically asking for very large sums of money. Usually it's gap. They've got a capital stack where they're accessing funds from either EFC, they have a grant, they're going to bond out for a portion of the project, they're using their own ARPA funds. And this, the assistance that I think that this program could potentially provide is some of that gap funding that would make these projects come to fruition. We certainly look forward to continuing that conversation. I know that if you all reach out to your supervisors, I'm sure that they'll be talking about this as well. Thank you.
Yes, I just want to echo Legislator Maloney's comments. I myself have been in touch with my town board, the executive's office, Mr. Kelly here, and I think you're going to find out that these towns for extensions of water and sewers aren't going to really be asking for much, because they have other sources to help them move their projects forward. And I just want to remind everybody how important water and sewer is to local communities for growth and public health, the environment, all those areas. So we should do our best to accommodate these towns that are looking for some of this funding and put them on good footing.
Thank you. All right. Anything else? All right. Before I ask for a motion to adjourn, just a reminder, next week's meeting is at 5 o'clock and it's in person. So be prepared. Hopefully, be good to see everybody again in person. Nothing else? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll move it.
President Fabiano, second Cahill. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night.